Good morning. Before I share, I just want to ask Kuba, Wishi, a special friend of mine and an awesome woman of God, just to share a short testimony. We talk about our times with God, for those of you who were here last week, and we're really trusting God for testimonies. And Kuba is just a testimony of what God did in her personal devotional time with God after last week. So I just wanted to share.
Yeah, well, just some background. The PGA Tour, never mind what the GNA is for, the P made the impact last week. The P stands for peace. So when you come to the Lord, make sure that there's peace between you and God. And I just found that a few weeks after we had the School of the Supernatural, which was about gifts that God gave us to minister in words of knowledge, wisdom, whatever, all those, I just felt quite pressured and very responsible with this gift that we've been given. And okay, now we've got to work with this gift and be responsible. And yeah, and I felt quite pressured. And all of a sudden I started comparing ourselves with other churches, like overseas, where they've got these explosions of miracles and things. And I found, yeah, that I couldn't focus. Well, I didn't know it at that time, but I couldn't focus on the Lord when I was in my quiet time, trying to just read or trying to pray. And when Andre preached about the peace that you've got to have before God, I realized somehow I was thinking, God's not quite happy with me, because we're not moving in the gifts, because we're not exploding with all these wonderful things that we've been given. And yeah, I've just realized that, again, quite obvious thing, but many times we just come with a little bit of a thinking that maybe God's just that little bit less happy with me now that, well, I'm not being that responsible or whatever. And just came back to the truth. Jesus Christ paid for all our disobedience, for all our negligence, for all our everything. He's paid for it. He sees me as blameless and you as blameless and perfect and spotless as he sees Jesus Christ. And yeah, and then I could just relax and say, wow, this is me. I can now just come to God and tell him what's going on. Not sit there and all. I think sometimes we just come to God being all religious and trying to do all the right things. Well, God just wants us to pour your heart out before me. Tell me what's bugging you so we can just start right and start on the right foot and say, yes, you're wonderful. Yes, you're my child. Yet I'm wonderfully happy with you. And then we can go from there and fellowship. And yeah, that's all.
Thanks, Squibber. Yeah, I really want to encourage you. You know, Andre and I mean, obviously we can't talk about these things and not take it seriously ourselves. So we have a new strategy in our home as well in the mornings, getting to God, which is really awesome. And if you have a 2.5-year-old in the home, you need a strategy, let me tell you, in the morning. So I want to encourage you, do whatever it takes, but switch your phone off and, you know, get away from all distractions and just sit with God. Do yourself a favor. You know, we experience definitely just a fresh longing and a hunger and a thirst to do that. And yeah, so it's worth it. Like Kuba shared as well, we really feel now it's time to seek the Lord. Amen. So I just want to encourage him. I'm going to continue on the same topic, just from a different angle this morning. And I want to ask you, how many of you would see yourself as confident? Maybe extrovert, or not necessarily extrovert, but confident and bold and, you know, courageous. How many of you see yourself like that? There's a few. Praise God. What about the rest? Okay, let me ask a different question. Who of you would like to be courageous and confident, you know, not You know, you just laugh at the days to come. You don't fear. You're not intimidated. How many of you would like to be like that? Great. Okay. I must be honest. I also fall in that category. Okay. The first one, I wouldn't have raised my hand either. David must have been here this morning. He would have jumped up, for those of you who know David. But you know, the thing is, boldness and courage and even confidence, it's not personality. But often we think, no, but it's not my personality. Sonika, don't you understand? I can't do that. I can't speak in front of people. I'm going to die. You know, it's not my personality. God created me like that. And I'm not saying all of you must speak in front of people. It's not what I'm saying. But that's one of the things that most people fear, hey? Even more than death, apparently. But I think when it comes to boldness and confidence, we often think it's a personality thing. And I've seen definitely in my own life when I spend time with God and when I feel secure in who I am in the Lord, I am bold and I am confident. And when I'm not at that place, I'm intimidated and I'm scared and I'm, you know, all of those things we don't want to be. So I've really come to the conclusion that boldness and confidence, it's not personality. So I want to encourage you this morning that there's something we need to come to God, but there's also something we receive when we are with God in His presence. And that is called boldness. Boldness. And I wanna talk about it this morning. You know, it's as I say, we need boldness to come to God. And often, like Kweba just shared, that is the thing that's lacking, because we almost fear that place with God because, you know, we're so sinful, God, and we're so, you know, we're not good. We're not performing. So now we can't come to the Lord. But as soon as we do that, as soon as we just take that step in faith and understand that it's fine just to come as you are, we receive more boldness and more confidence. Amen? Does it make sense to you? So I just want to share, as an introduction, I just want to share with you from the book of 2 Kings. You don't have to go there, but it's a man called Elisha. And I know many of you all know Elijah. Okay, everybody knows Elijah because there's songs about Elijah. And, you know, he was this big prophet. But the man who was his successor was called Elisha. And God just opened my eyes for this man. And I said, God, I want to be like him. I want to be like this man. And I just want to tell you a few things. You know, the day when Elijah was taken up into heaven, he said Elisha knew about that because God already chose Elisha, you know, before that day. So he was following Elijah and learning from him. And then Elijah said to Elisha, but stay here. Leave me alone. I wanna go. And then Elisha says, No, I'm coming with you. I'm not leaving you. And then at a stage during that day, Elijah asked him, so what do you want? What do you want me to do for you before I go? And Elisha said to him, I want a double portion of the anointing. Some of you will know that story. I want a double portion. And, you know, if you just look at it, you think, wow, that's a bit arrogant, eh? I want a double portion of your anointing for myself. And God showed me something about this man, that he was so eager to pursue God that he would do anything to, you know, to receive and to get that thing that will make him be connected to the Lord. And, you know, the whole day Elijah said to him, wait here. And Elisha said to him, no way, I'm coming with you. And then Elijah said to him, you know, you're asking this very hard thing, a double portion of my anointing. It's a very hard thing. But if you see me depart, if you see me, you know, when God takes me, you'll receive it. So Elisha said, I'm not leaving you. I'm coming with you. And it happened that he saw Elijah, you know, when God took him. And obviously he received a double portion of the anointing. So that's where it all started. But, you know, he had a connection with God. Because if you read in 2 Kings, you know, he will come to a town and then the river or the water in the river is bad. And he just says, okay, give me a bit of salt. He goes to the to the source of the river. He puts the salt in and he tells the people, okay, it's fine now. You can drink the water. And it was fine. And you know, there was famine in the land and the people made a big pot of stew and they took too many of a certain wild plant. If you take a little bit, it's fine, but if you take too much, it's become poisonous. And the people said, there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot, Elisha. And he said, just give me a bit of flour. And he put it in the pot and he said, you can eat now. So it's just amazing for me to see his life and to see he obviously had a connection with God. So he just, you know, he makes a decision and he tells the people, it's fine now. And I said to God, Lord, I really want to be like that. I really want to be just bold and just make a decision and just tell everybody it's fine. You know, there's another story where there was the Syrians came to fight against Israel. And everybody was so scared. And his servant said to him, oh, what are we going to do, Elisha? And Elisha prayed and he said, God, just open his eyes. And God opened his eyes and there was all these angels in the spiritual realm which his servant couldn't see, but Elisha was aware of it all the time. You know, and the battle was won that day because of the spiritual forces fighting with Israel. It's amazing. So, I mean, I wish I had time just to tell you all the stories about him, but God opened my eyes for the boldness and the courage and the confidence he had. And for those of you who were here when Pastor Sias from Stellenbosch ministered about, 2-3 weeks ago, he also received a word. It's in our newsletter, for those of you who received the newsletter, about a man giving him a word for us as a church, for the whole Shofar group, saying that there's a direct link between what God is going to do in the church and through our lives and confidence. You know, and sometimes we think confidence is bad, you know. Aren't we arrogant or aren't we, isn't it bad? And I just want to tell you this morning, confidence is great. You know, we need confidence, we need boldness, we need to come to a place where we are so connected with a God of heaven and earth that we can boldly say what we want to say. We can boldly proclaim the truth. We don't have to be intimidated by people or by circumstances because we are bold and confident. Amen? So, to be bold really means to be confident and courageous. You know, sometimes we think boldness is different to confidence and courage, but it's very much the same thing. Boldness is confidence. It's courage. And as I said, boldness is not personality. Okay, so I want you to know that this morning. It's not about your personality. You can be an introvert. You can be even shy. But you can be bold. Amen? You have to believe me this morning. I know some people often tell me, Sonika, I will never be able to do that. I will never be able to be a self-facilitator. I'm too shy. I can't do it. Or I will never be able to, you know, to do that kind of job or something. I can't. It's not my personality, you know. And sometimes we put ourselves in a box and God actually wants to do awesome things through you. And we just need to come to God and receive that connection. Now, the one thing, there's many things that steal our boldness. And this is what I want to come to this morning. There's many things that can take away our courage. I mean, Andre, when he was a small toddler, he always tells me he was, you know, singing on stage and, you know, dance midi rock or what is my enliki. There was a song, I can't remember now exactly the song. Yeah, yeah. But in any case, he was dancing and singing on stage as a little boy. And you know, his parents got divorced when he was in primary school. And through circumstances and things, a lot of his boldness as a little child was stolen. And I think many of us have stories like this. He got all of his boldness back, let me tell you now. That's not a problem anymore. But I think all of us have memories from childhood where we could just sing and dance, you know, in front of people and not be scared, not be intimidated. And somehow through life, it's been stolen from us, that courage, that boldness to do things, you know. And the one big thing that steals our boldness is condemnation. And this is what I want to focus on this morning, because I really believe the spirit of condemnation is stealing so much from all of us, even for those of us who are bold and confident. You know, the devil, the Hebrew word for Satan, literally means the accuser. So what the devil does, he comes and accuses us of many different things. And he knows all our buttons. So he goes for that one thing that's going to make you feel guilty and condemned. Okay, for all of it's different. But he's always pointing out your faults, your shortcomings, exactly what Kweba shared. And even when we do things right, you know what the devil tells us? It's not good enough. You must try harder. You don't, you know, or if you pray for somebody and the person doesn't get healed, or if you speak to somebody and the person is not interested in the Lord, the devil tells you, you know what? You don't have enough compassion. That's why. Or you don't have enough love in your heart. That's why it didn't work. You know, so even if you haven't done anything wrong, the devil comes and he tells you, it's not good enough. How many of you have ever experienced that? Okay. This is exactly what the devil comes to do. He accuses us in some or other way, and that makes us feel so terrible that we don't want to come to God. And I want to show you a picture quickly about the result. What happens? I don't know if all of you can see that. But often in my life, I thought fear would be the root of all my issues. I'm fearful, so now I get stressed, so now I have all other issues. You know? And something that could be even a deeper root than fear is condemnation. Because what happens, you feel so bad. I shared this with the people in Bible school, so you'll remember. Condemnation could be so deep, and it's also a very subtle, hidden thing. It's not in your face. It's not as the devil going to come and tell you, now I'm condemning you now. You know, it does it so subtly that we can easily miss it. And what also happens, often we think it's God speaking to us. Okay, we can easily think it is God or the Holy Spirit making us feel this way. So condemnation can often go to something like sickness or even financial lack. It's a deeper root than even fear. Because when you feel condemned, you become fearful, you start to stress, and what happened in my life is I even got sick from time to time when it all started with condemnation. It's a terrible thing, and it's a very clever strategy of the devil to keep us from the presence of God, to keep us from jumping on the Lord's lap and just give him a hug and say, Lord, here I am. I am messed up, but here I am. But that thing keeps us. And often we struggle to identify condemnation. So I just want to give you 3 points where, you know, if that thing comes, that you can identify that. The first thing is you feel disconnected from the Lord. You feel disconnected from God. You lose your boldness just to come to God and enter his presence. The second thing is you are self-focused and not Jesus-focused. So what the devil does, he comes and puts a spotlight on all your weaknesses, all your faults, all your sins, everything you struggle with. He puts a spotlight on that, and he makes you feel terrible. And the third thing is the fruit. As you remember that picture, the fruit is not good. If it's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction, it'll always set you free. The fruit will always be good. So that is the way. Often we think, oh, I feel so bad. I don't want to go to God because he's disappointed in me. And we think it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But if you feel disconnected from the Lord, and if you are extremely self-focused, so all you focus on is how bad you are, how badly you've messed up. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because you know God for 10 years. And often we get confused between condemnation and God speaking to us. So I want to take you to a scripture. For those of you who have Bibles here, if you can go there with me. 1 John 3, verse 20 and 21. 1 John 3. I'm going to read in the Amplified, but you're welcome to follow in whichever translation you have. 1 John is at the back. 1 John 3, verse 20 and 21. That says, whenever our hearts in tormenting or self-accusation make us feel guilty and condemn us. You see, the devil comes for our hearts. He comes for our hearts. Whenever our hearts in self-accusation makes us feel guilty and condemn us, he, that is Jesus, is above and greater than our consciences or our hearts. And he knows and he perceives and understands everything. So that is the first thing. You know, whenever condemnation comes, we need to say, regardless of condemnation or not, Jesus is bigger than this. Because often, you know, in my life, I feel condemned because I am condemned. Does it make sense? I feel condemned because I feel condemned. It's like a terrible, vicious cycle. Because I feel condemned, the devil comes and brings condemnation. Now I know I'm not supposed to feel condemned. I know God for so many years. I'm not supposed to feel like that. Now I feel condemned because I am condemned. I know it sounds ridiculous, but maybe some of you can identify with that. And then it just goes down. You know, your emotions and your feelings just run away with you. And this is exactly what the devil wants. And I've come to a place where immediately when I feel condemned, I remind myself that even though I feel condemned now, God is bigger than this. This is what the word says. He is above and greater than our hearts. So that is the first thing that we can do when we do feel condemned. And beloved, if our consciences do not accuse us, if they do not make us feel guilty and condemn us, we have confidence, complete assurance and boldness before God. So if we do not feel condemned, we have confidence towards God. But the other way, the other side is also true. If we do feel condemned, we don't have confidence towards God. Okay, so what happens, condemnation takes effect. I want you to listen carefully now. Condemnation takes effect. For example, you've made a mistake, an honest mistake, at work, at home, wherever. He takes that fact, the mistake that you made, he wraps it in a lie, sit a mooi strikkie om, you know, like a nice present, and he presents it to you as the truth. So he takes the mistake that you made, he convinces you how bad you are and that you shouldn't have made the mistake and it's all your fault. And he presents it to you as the truth. That's what condemnation does. What happened to me last year, just a quick story, is we had a mission team coming from Cape Town just to do a legacy seminar for the weekend. They left this Thursday morning in Cape Town, and I organized with my parents that they will sleep over the Thursday evening in Mossel Bay, and then they would have come through the Friday. And the Thursday evening at about 8 o'clock, Andre was talking to the pastor, you know, who's leading the team, and I could hear that they are on their way, and something struck me. The weirdest thing, obviously it was God helping me out. I realized, all of a sudden, I said to my parents, they're coming the Friday and not the Thursday. Now, they left, it's 8 o'clock, they on their way to Mossel Bay, they would maybe arrive there at about 12 o'clock, okay? The night, the evening, you know, now I start stressing because my mom, you know, my mom needs preparation or she needs, you know, notice in advance. And she was excited, she's going to make food for them, everything, you know, get the beds ready. I phone her at 8 o'clock. Now, I'm uncertain, you know, I'm uncertain, but something tells me, I told her the Friday. I said, Mama, what date, what did I tell you, tonight or tomorrow? No, tomorrow. I'm on my way to bed, I'm in my pajamas. I said, I made a mistake. Now I can hear my mom is stressing. She says, Sonika, what am I going to do? I have nothing in the house. It's 15 people, okay, coming. I've nothing in the house. I feel terrible. I feel like, no, God, this is not happening to me. I felt like a complete failure, loser, pathetic, whatever you want to call me. You see, and the reason I felt so bad is because I've done certain or similar things many times in my life. I've organized, you know, this is now how the devil works. Sonika, you're not supposed to make such a stupid mistake. You know better. You should have checked. You should have double checked. You should have. You can't. It's just unacceptable. You know, now the devil. Now I think, oh, Andre, I don't know what Andre thinks of me. I'm working for him, okay? He's my boss. I don't know what he thinks about me. I can't even organize like a stupid little thing like this. My parents, they're disappointed in me. You know, we have this high expectation of ourselves. And when we make a mistake, we think it's the end of the world. Maybe you're not like that, okay? Maybe I'm the only one. But the reason why I felt so bad is I thought I'm not allowed to make that kind of a mistake because of my past experience in project management or whatever. So this is exactly what the devil does. He tells you, you are a self-facilitator. You can't. You're not allowed to do that. You know God for 15 years. You're not allowed. You can't struggle with that temptation anymore. It's wrong. It's maybe 10 years ago it was okay, but not anymore. Do you follow? So what the devil does is he takes your life. He convinces you that there's no grace for you anymore. There's maybe grace maybe for some other people who doesn't know better, but you know better. You can't make this kind of a mistake. And this is what happens. So what the condemnation does, it takes us from relationship with God, where we are in a relationship, and it takes us to religion that says you need to perform all the time. Where boldness takes us out of a place of religion, and it takes us to a place of relationship with God, where it is fine to make a mistake. Do you follow? So it's a boldness and condemnation is directly opposite. Where if we are bold, we can come to God. We can say, Daddy, I made a mistake. Lord, oh, I feel so terrible. And where God can tell you, it's okay. And the thing is, with that specific thing, God helped me out. I mean, it would have been a disaster. Imagine this. The people arriving at my parents' house at 12 o'clock, my mom in bed, nothing prepared. They didn't even eat on their way because my mom would have prepared food for them. I mean, that would have been a disaster. So God told me the whole time, Sonika, it's all fine. I helped you out. It's not a crisis. Everything is fine. But nevertheless, I didn't sleep that night. You know, I was worried about my mom and my parents and all the people. And God said to me, Sonika, I've taken care of this. And so often we are in this position where God just wants to be there for us. He just wants to help us out. And he does. But we still feel bad. We still feel condemned. We still feel terrible. We still feel, I should have known better. I should have done better. I'm not allowed to make this mistake. You know, in Romans 8 verse 1, it's a well-known scripture, but we need to be reminded of this all the time. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Maybe we can say this together, okay? But I want us to say, so now there is no condemnation for me who belong to Christ Jesus. So can you say this with me? So now there is no condemnation for me who belong to Christ Jesus. And sometimes we need to repeat this 10 times or 15 times before it goes to our hearts. Because this is a very nice theoretical sentence in the Bible that doesn't always go to our hearts. So we read it, but we still feel condemned. And the thing is, we need to realize that God is bigger than our mistakes. And when I was praying, I prayed so much for all of you who will be here this morning. And I really felt that some of you need to forgive yourself this morning. You need to forgive yourself for something that happened. Maybe a month ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 10 years ago. Something happened. And I really felt that thing is haunting you. It's still, the devil is still taking that something that happened. He's still convincing you that it's your fault. It's your mistake. And that it's haunting you. It's something that is holding you from a relationship with God, from entering freely into the presence of God, because you feel God is still cross with you. He's still disappointed with you. Or maybe God is okay, but you're still cross with yourself. You're still disappointed in yourself. And I would love to pray with you at the end of the service. So if there's anybody like that, I really trust that God will set you free this morning. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. Just look at this amazing scripture. It says, "For we do not have a high priest, that is Jesus, who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities." We do not have a high priest who is unable to understand. We have a God who is able to understand. He's able to sympathize. He's able to identify with us. Because he walked on earth, people. He was rejected by his best friends when he went to the cross. And I know not much is written about Jesus' life before the age of 30. But he was a baby. He was a toddler. He was a boy. He was a man. He experienced everything that we experience. He's not unable to identify. He can. He knows how it feels. Verse 16, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly," it's also the Amplified, "draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." This is the God we serve. He's not unable to identify. Maybe you think, no, God is sinless. He's holy. He can't identify with all my issues, my mess-ups. He can. God wants to say to you this morning that no matter what happened in your life, even if it was your fault, it's okay. Even if you did mess up, because often we feel condemned and it's not even our fault. You could even feel condemned because your parents got divorced because you feel it's your fault. You feel somehow you messed up. You feel somehow that your presence in the home made them fight. You know, that's the ridiculous thing about how the devil works. It's honestly not your fault, but you feel it's my fault. But then even if it is your fault, even if it's like 110% your fault, it's still fine. We can still come to God. And we need forgiveness. We need to receive forgiveness from God. And we need to forgive ourselves for that. It's very serious, eh, this morning. But I'm gonna be very practical now. So praise God. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And sometimes we forget that. We think it's the circumstances that keep us from God. And often there's a spiritual dimension that we lose track of. And I want to take you to a scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to share with you now, so what do we do? We all struggle with condemnation from time to time. What do we do practically? How do we tackle this thing? How do we get rid of it? Because I think often we invite condemnation into our home. We have a cup of tea. You know, we chat with that thing. And we almost pamper that spirit because we don't realize we must make war, you know, eat, weg, this is a wound, you know, putek. What do you tell a dog? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, we're going to get rid of the spirit of condemnation in this house this morning, okay? Let me tell you, amen, we're not going to take anything from him this morning. And don't feel condemned if you are condemned, okay? We're going to get that thing we're also going to chase away this morning. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. And I know this is like big words, but the devil comes with an argument. He comes with a stronghold. He comes with some other clever thing, and he convinces you about the lie and not the truth. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the things that we fight with. It's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. As I said, condemnation takes effect. So the fact is okay, we've messed up, there's something that happened, but he wraps it in a lie, and that is the lie we need to tackle. The fact is a fact, but God can deal with that. Okay, we're not going to deny the fact that we made a mistake. It's we don't have to deny it. We just connect it to the truth and not to the lie. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. So how do we warfare? Now, first of all, the battle is the Lord's. We're not fighting, actually. That's the good news. We're not fighting against the spirit of condemnation or guilt. It's all linked. Like guilt, fear, condemnation, shame. It's all linked. We don't fight against it because Jesus won at the cross. So you don't have to fight. That's the good news. But what we need to do, we need to take the armor of God and we need to go to the battlefield. And then Jesus fights for us. But we need to prepare ourselves. We need to come into a position where God can fight for us. So I want to take you to Ephesians 6. You can go there if you want to. Ephesians 6. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. I'm just going to explain to you practically how you can take the armor of God to position yourself to come freely into the presence of God. And it's really awesome. I do this from time to time. You know, when I get down, I just do it. And the easiest way is to take it from the top to the bottom. And it's not the same order as in the Word of God, as in Ephesians 6. But what I do, I take the helmet of salvation, and I take the breastplate of righteousness, I put it on. And the way you put it on is you take a scripture. And there's lots of scriptures. I'm just going to give you one for each piece of clothing this morning. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. God saved you. And righteousness is something that Jesus did for us. Where it's a term that they took from the courts. You know, where somebody who was guilty is declared righteous. Jesus did that for us. So even if you are guilty, that's also fine. Because Jesus makes us righteous. And I know all this righteousness is a big word and we don't always understand it. But what it boils down to is we should take our focus off what we are and the things we do wrong and the mistakes we make and put all our focus on Jesus because he took it upon himself. That's what salvation and righteousness means for me. It doesn't matter how badly I've messed up. Because Jesus took care of that. Amen? So you take the helmet of salvation, you take the breastplate of righteousness, you come to a place of peace, like Andre shared last week. You remember David? Andre shared about David. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he went to, he said, God, should I go make war against the Amalekites? And then God said, go. But first, he strengthened himself in the Lord. So the first step is to take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and to say, God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my righteousness. I come. Here I come, Jesus, in your presence. Okay? Then the belt of truth. You need to put on the belt of truth. John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? Condemnation is always linked to a lie. And the truth is found in God's word. It's not how we feel. Our emotions are irrelevant to the word of God. Okay? It's irrelevant how I feel at this moment, because the word of God is the truth. And that is what we should focus on. And you know what? We must give ourselves permission to make mistakes. How's that? I must give myself permission to make mistakes, because I think I can't make mistakes. So sometimes I say to myself, Sonika, you know what? You can make a mistake. Great. Awesome. Oh, I can breathe out. Because sometimes we're just so hard on ourselves. Give yourself permission to make a mistake. It's really fine. Because Jesus is going to fix it somehow. Let me tell you, he's going to fix it. He's going to come through for you. Then you take the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. And I'm going to show you a short video clip now of Toby. I know we're running out of time, but I'm almost finished. The sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. And Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and powerful. And I know sometimes that doesn't make sense to us either. I mean, the word of God is living and powerful, but it is. And I'm gonna show you a clip now, but what we need to realize is everything we need, every truth that'll destroy the lie is found in God's word. That is why we need to take the sword of the Spirit. Maybe I'm just going to deal with a shield of faith. Then we're going to show the video clip. So you take the helmet of salvation. You're going to remember that. Breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. You take the sword of the Spirit. And you say, devil, don't mess with me. I have my sword, which is the Bible. And then you take the shield of faith. And you say, God, I come. I walk by faith and not by sight. Not by emotion, because condemnation is a very emotional, it's a very emotional thing. You feel bad, you feel horrible, you feel nobody likes you, you feel, you know, it's just a whole lot of emotions that goes wild. And if you take the shield of faith, you declare, God, I walk by faith, not by sight, not by emotions. You know, sometimes I can't even figure out in myself what emotions are of God and what is not of him. I'm totally confused. God, I'm an emotional wreck. Just sort out my emotions. And then what I pray is I say, God, whatever emotion is not of you, I command it to flee in Jesus' name. Or whatever emotion is not of you, God, I bring it in order. I take it captive. I make it obedient to Jesus Christ. You can do that, eh? So you take the full armor, and when you have taken everything, you can put on the shoes of the gospel, which I'm not going to talk about now, but then you're ready. Then you're ready for battle. And then you go to the battlefield, but you're not fighting. Jesus fights, but you're ready. I mean, so let's just look at this. It's Toby. Let me just give you the background. Toby is watching DVDs. My little boy says, kakadies. He can't say DVDs. He says, kakadies. Toby is watching some other scary DVD. Now he must go to bed. And now he's scared. And now Jesus comes. So this is where we pick up the story.
Here's what we're going to do. Now, you need a weapon, soldier.
Don't be silly. This doesn't work.
It's not the gun. It's what you load it with.
What do you load it with?
Words.
Words? Any words?
No. My words.
God is in me. I will not be scared.
Okay, so what are we going to do? So therefore, there is no condemnation. I'm not going to feel condemned. You know what? The Word of God is living. It's powerful. And we just need to believe. And we just need to, you know, Toby had to say this over and over. God is in me. I will not be scared. And sometimes we just need to go back to God over and over again. So that is the spiritual side. Just quickly, very practical. So first of all, you tackle it in the spirit, and then practically what you do, you get yourself a little book. This is my book. And you write down, if you are distracted, if you are condemned, and if you feel all these emotions, when you come to God, you can't focus on the Lord because it's just too many things. Even stupid things like, it's that one's birthday, I still need to buy a present, when am I going to do it? Now you can't focus on God because you start thinking about presents, okay? Or there's no milk in the fridge and you must buy milk, you know, for all the, whoever buys the milk in the house. And, you know, sometimes it's good just to have a list or a book and you write down all those distractions, just normal distractions of life, that you can come and focus on God. But then also, what is important when it comes to especially condemnation and fear and guilt, the promises that God has given you, we need to write it down, even scriptures that God spoke to your heart. Because what the devil also does, he comes and steals that away from us, the promises and things that God has spoken over your life. So what I have this book. It's not my neat book. Vian also got a hold of it, so there's like lots of scribbles. But then I have another book, which I'm very, you know, this is not my special book. And in that book, I've written words, guidance, different things that God has given me over the years since I was in grade 10. And that's my book. And I only write things in there that is really, that really spoke to me. This is my everyday book. And then that one, and from time, that one I write in all the special words that God has given me, or words somebody else has given me. And then from time to time, I just go through it and I read through it and I remind myself of what God has told me. And that really sets me free. It makes me want to come to God. It makes me bold. It makes me want to come into God's presence. So we have 10 books like this, 5 for guys and 5 for girls, which I wanna give out this morning. I wish I can give to all of you. So I just want to know, who of you don't have a book, or you lost your book, or you would like to have a new book? Who of you? Anyone? Okay, there you go. Cornel met een kry. Foden. Please raise your hands. I have 10 books. Roselda, Anya, Sunel, Francois. Konei, is there nog boeken? I'm not counting, people. There's still books. Is dit nog vir ouens? Wat die ouens het nog gelijk franchise aan het gesê, Terrence en Cornijn. Sorry, I hope I'm not missing somebody here. For the rest of you, is er nog een van my see? You know what? If you have a book, it encourages you to go to God and to sit with Him and to hear His voice. And this is something really practical. So for those of you who don't have a book, or just get yourself, I just want to get myself another one as well, because it motivates me. Whatever motivates you to go to God, do it. Go to Koom Books. It's not expensive at all. And get a present for yourself, and it will motivate you to come to the Lord. Amen. So I just want to ask the worship team, Elisna has a song that we're just going to minister to you. I just want you to sit just like this. It's a song. It's called So You Would Come. And the words, some of the words are, nothing you can do could make Him love you more. And nothing that you have done could make Him close the door. Come to the Father. And this song has been written especially, you know, for people just to come to God, just as you are. You don't have to fix yourself, you know. And this morning, I really want to say, especially if you are maybe a self-facilitator, or if you are in kind of some other leadership position in church, you know, that is most often when the devil tells you, oh, you can't, you must pray for other people. You can't now receive prayer. So I just want to encourage you this morning, if you want to come forward, if you want to come to God, if you want us to pray for you, no matter who you are, no matter if you have known God for 50 years, and you're not supposed to go to the front because you're supposed to be all sorted out, forget about that. Forget about that. We all need to come. I'm just somewhere going to ask somebody to pray for me as well this morning. Because we all need to come sometimes and just to surrender. Okay. Anya, you can put the words on. But just receive this. We're going to finish now.
For the world began. Door, because of His great love.
God's broken lives, He will take them all. The power of the Word, the power of His blood, and everything was done so You would come.
I just want to ask if we can just maybe close our eyes. It's always just better if, you know, somebody wants to respond. Is there anybody here you feel you need to forgive yourself? Something happened. You feel still terrible about it. You want to forgive yourself this morning. Anybody, if you can just quickly raise your hand. Anyone like that? Okay, be bold, people. God wants to set you free. Okay. And then anyone else, you can drop your hands. I'm going to ask you to come forward now if you want to do that. Is there any one of you really feel that the spirit of condemnation is taking the life out of you? It's stealing your joy. It's stealing your peace. It's as if it's sucking life out of you. Is there anyone like that? It feels as if... Okay, anyone else? Just raise your hand. Just be bold. Say, God, I want to be free from this. Okay. I just want to ask if you are bold enough to come to the front, we would love to pray with you. Elisna, if we can just do the chorus again. Just come. Okay, don't worry what anybody thinks, because I really feel God wants to do something special in your heart this morning. All of us struggle with this from time to time. Okay. It's not a shame. Once more.
To the Father, though Your gift is small, broken hearts grow.